Okay, everyone, we're live. Welcome to a special new podcast series we're doing called Sacred Ecstasy. And we're just going to have a free-flowing conversation tonight. We hope you're going to really enjoy it because I'm excited. We've got Alberto with us. Hello, Alberto.
Hello.
It's good to see you. You're one of our heroes. You've got a long track history of releasing just these incredible, beautiful sounds, and with your wife, Kimberly, as well, who is just awesome. We've got Elizabeth Cooper, the legend, the poet, the prophet, the wildfire carrier. I think one of the exciting emerging voices.
One thing am I desired of the Lord, that one thing I see, to know you. I just want to know you. One thing am I desired of the Lord, that one thing I see, to know you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
We just did a conference together not long ago, Access Unlimited, and you did the worship online. And man, it was beautiful. And I can't wait to be in the room with you again to do something.
Yeah. Live is where it's at. We could just get out of lockdown.
And when they started lockdown in the UK, they said it's going to be for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We're a year on. It's crazy days. Now, co-hosting this with me, this new series, is the wonderful Janine John, who is part of Company Burning Hearts, part of our leadership team, and she's also my sister-in-law, so we're family. You provoked this whole series as well with all that you've been doing with your worship, Many Voices, Relocate, Creative Hubs. Say hello, Janine.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Good to be here.
Janine's going to help us navigate this conversation. So before we get started, I just want to engage the realm of the spirit. So very simply, we're just going to return back into the breath and return to that awareness that we live in the breath of God, and that distance is an illusion, that we're in him and he's in us. And as we return to the frequency of the breath, as we return and turn inwards to Christ in us, we become aware that we are immersed in his love, and he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. We're in him. So Lord, I engage now with Alberto, Elizabeth, and Janine. I ask for that oneness, synergy, cardiognosis, where we're connected beyond words. Yeah. In this sacred dance with the Trinity, in that love tapestry. Thank you for the angelic. Really been sensing the angels all day, and I know the angelic's very much released through worshipers and worship. And we thank you for those angels that have gathered, and we welcome the release of them onto the people listening. The glory bombs and angelic breakouts would happen around them, and angels that bring creativity, songs, and new expressions would be released even through this time together. So thank you that we are those that worship and walk in the realm of life. We are life-giving spirits. Thank you, Father. Yes. Whoa. Well, we could simmer inside that realm all day, but we're going to have a talk. You know, one of the things that Janine and I have been talking about, and for a while, is this whole revelation that I think is coming through in our generation of our oneness, that we're in him and he's in us. Because in the past, a lot of the songs came from separation, and they produced a separation mindset, that God's somehow distant. But it seems like when I was preaching, and you guys have heard the podcast on the new creation, I was often competing with the songs because I'd go to conferences and I'd go to events and they would be like really lamenty. God's gone. He's flown away. We've grieved the spirit. He's flown. You know, I'm a sinner and I'm coming with this happy new creation. You're powerful. You're innocent. You're in him. I think that the worship is now becoming new creation. We are becoming aware of our oneness. Yeah. What do you think, Alberto? Jump in.
Larry, I don't listen to a lot of music, so I don't know what's, if you've seen it come up, that is amazing because we really need it. We need to shift into that realm, which is really truth. And it's basic gospel 101. And somehow it's gotten lost, you know, through the years. But we have to switch into that dimension because it brings such freedom and from struggle for people. You know, people that have to jump through so many hoops to kind of feel, you know, to get to a place where they feel like they're okay with God to worship and to all that. So, yes. We need more of that message of union.
There's an energy, isn't there, our oneness? Because it's always there. When you turn into it, simplicity, right. You can go crazy in worship, but you're not trying to build up to that.
It's entering into the rest because it's like there's nothing you can do to get to that place. It was bought by the blood of Yeshua. So there's nothing that can take you out of that place. This is the same thing. And so once you realize that you don't have to do anything to be in that place, you don't have to go through all this ceremonial like in the old covenant that Yeshua did all of that. So it's a wonderful thing for people to go. And we've seen it over and over when people begin to sing about it and engage it. It's like, oh, it's so freeing. You know, it's like, that's, wow, it's easy.
Easy. Moving now towards an understanding that is participation, that the Trinity of this static view dance, some theologians call it the celebrative constancy, that they're in this celebrative constancy, and worship is actually an invitation into the relationship they already have with each other, where they are enjoying one another, and that enjoyment and worship are connected. It's a connection. What do you think about that, Elizabeth?
Where all three of us are coming from, it's like we really want to create just an environment where we're awakened to realities. It's not trying to work anything up or, you know, work into getting up to a certain realm or whatever, but it's just like turning our hearts towards the reality. And there's, I think, a real awakening to the beauty of the Lord. And when we are awakened to the beauty of the Lord, it draws us into this place of worship in the reality of who he is and the reality of who we are in him, and that there is no separation. So, you know, like, you know, my thing is always, I kind of want to lean less towards even just bringing a prophetic word in worship and more towards creating an environment for encounter that people can come into the realization of these realities of who they are and who he is and the beauty of the Lord. Because, you know, and prophetic words are great and, you know, and they're awesome and, you know, they are needed, but, you know, the greatest thing would be to have what, you know, what I'm calling and what the Lord has shown me, we're heading into a union revolution, which is greater than revival, you know, and I love revival and I'm not, I honor revival and I honor the revivals of the past, but I think that what the Lord is doing is bringing us into these realities. And when we come into these realities of that, we truly are in him and he is in us and we are in union and we cannot be removed from that. We just can be removed from the reality of it, the awakening in our own heart that we are not awakened to it. Yeah, I think it really just, that is it. That's the bottom line, you know, coming into that place of connecting there to those realities. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Such a strong line. The revelation that we're in him and he's in us is instantly intoxicating. It's a thought that for me, you just believe and turn into it, that secret garden of love and the love wine and communion is in you, and then you're in it, and then there's energy, and then there's like explosions, and then prophecy can fly, but it's not flying because you're snatching at it. It's an overflow of sweetness. Janine, what about you? You know, the whole thing of oneness, because I remember we worked a lot together and you were warming up on a song about God, you know, coming, right? And I remember saying to you, and it sounded great, but I said, it's a truth. It is a truth. God can come. There's a realm that can come. But I said, there's something truer. We're going to go up and we're going to go into that realm where he is. And I remember saying to you, I'd love for you to sing ascension songs. And we've been doing ascension nights, and your album Relocate really captures that. That's been a journey for you as well, hasn't it? Coming from.
Yeah, I think over the last 10 years, really, and maybe even slightly longer than that, it was like we'd been in a time where we'd known that kabod, the glory that you were talking about earlier, the glory that was without, and there was crazy, amazing things going on, and you felt like that electric kind of atmosphere. People were getting so overwhelmed by God's presence. A lot of joy was there, but it felt like we shifted after that season into realizing that we are in union, and it was a mindset, and it had to. I remember my thinking changing, and it was like, when that happened, I felt actually free, because what I realized is that my own walk with God and how I entered into the presence and actually brought people in, it was easy, and actually removing that thinking made it easier even for me to kind of bring people in into that. And just it's so exciting, because we've been going deeper and deeper and deeper into this understanding and revelation, and we're starting to enjoy the union and the communion side of it. And I think that's where the bliss and the sweetness comes, and the fruitfulness comes. Like you say, you don't have to work anything up, because we're just enjoying who he is, who we are in him. And it's so easy. And then you do get those times where the realms blur and you get the kabod glory coming as well, which could be really exciting. But it's been a journey, but it's been so fruitful, and it's brought a depth. I feel it's brought a real depth and a just a maturity, I feel, as well.
It's beautiful. The realm is so precious. I've been studying a lot of science, and during the last year, I qualified as a meditation teacher, and I had to look at lots of scientific books on how we work as human beings. And what I found was something incredible. Is I already knew this, that we release light. You can measure it with a photometer, right? So we can't see the spectrum of light, but if we could see, we would see this massive concentration of light coming out of us. But what they found was that when you have negative emotions, like those negative emotions, like that feeling of lack, or you're down, or sadness, those melancholy emotions, your body eats some of the light and you stop outputting the same level of light. So you almost feed off your own energy. Now, what they found was that when you have these feelings of well-being and you come into synergy within your heart, with the root of affections in your mind, and they form this coherent wave pattern that's very smooth, when you're in that state, and we'd call it being in the spirit, being in union, you output massive particles of light. And actually those particles then change the atmosphere of the room and interact with other people. Because remember, negative emotions is less particles. So the one outputting the most particles starts to create the canopy in the room scientifically. And it's such a powerful revelation. And Alberto, I heard you say this when you talked on Liz's podcast, which was awesome, with Liz Wright. We love that podcast. Brilliant session. You said connecting within releases pure light.
That's one of the most beautiful, I think. If we could see, you know, with our natural eyes, how much we carry inside and that light that shines from within. And one of the things that we do, like in our session, we help people to realize that and envision using their imagination to see, like, through the skins, to see the pores, like light coming through the pores. And so it's a reality, because we are children of light. That's what he says, is walk as, you know, walk in the light and walk as children of light. And we always thought it was like, you know, the light, yeah, the good things, you know, but the dimension of pure light as he is. It's a wonderful thing. I think we're coming into a season where that light is gonna, you know, arise and shine. We are arising and shining. When you have a multitude of people that understands who they are and where they are and who and where they sit.
Come on.
We got a multitude of people shining, and the light is going to be so amazing, increasing, ever increasing. No, yeah. And so I want to see that. I want to see that. As I can't wait to we begin to gather again as we, you know, get out of these lockdowns and with people with the just the new awareness of light bursting from to arise and shine for this hour.
And that's what's going to transform creation, isn't it? Literally light. And, you know, this is something you guys are probably all aware of, and a lot of the people listening, that light is a wave pattern. And scripture's full of, your waves and breakers have crashed over me. The knowledge of the glory will be like water, the spirit being poured out like water. And that when we talk about water, we're talking about frequency. We're talking about energy. We're talking about vibration. And the interesting thing that scientists are finding by measuring brainwave patterns and the energy of your body, when you go into meditative or mystic states, you output high frequency, which means the waves are like, instead of it being warm, warm, warm like that, you're like, you're outputting these incredible patterns of energy. And actually they found that all your neural pathways trigger and you shift from beta everyday waves into alpha, theta, and gamma, and all these waves, and then your heart powers up in synergy and they're working together. And then we've got the addition of being born from above with Yeshua HaMashiach, you know, Ruach HaKodesh, Adonai is in us, and it just becomes this explosion of energy. Well, there's a lot of talk about frequency. The New Agers love it. I know my friend Nancy Cohen, she's always talking about high frequency. I'd love to know your thoughts on that. Is frequency an actual, for you, a sound, or is it like a sensation that we feel in the spirit? Because I feel like when we talk about frequency and I hear Nancy talk about frequency, I know what she's saying, but what is it exactly?
I feel like sometimes when I've gone into that state of union, there's the union and the bliss and that lovely sweet place. There's also, you can carry on going deeper in. And I felt sometimes that energy shift where it's, you know, you start to lose the room, it almost gets like a little bit trancy, and you start to have a physical manifestation of that. I think we can experience that frequency.
It's like when you walk in the room, you can feel it. I was doing the Sounds of Glory conference in Nashville. And the first year I came in, I came in a little bit after the worship had started. I walked in the room and it was like lit. What did you say, Alberto? You said something in your talk about the deepest emotions, you said, have no words.
That's right. It's, you know, think about it. It's crying, laughing, things that really touch us deeply. You know, it's like you can't put them into words. And the Holy Spirit intercedes with groans. And, you know, that's not sounds either. So I've been moving into, instead of praying for people, just words. I just go and just begin to find, connect the desire to just the sound. So it's almost like source code. And I feel like as the sons of God, I begin to release these sounds because it's really beyond words. When you connect who you are, the light, because sound is light. So it's just a slower version of light. You know, if you keep going higher, and then you switch into light. So sound, because sound is light, as more people, more sons of God realize this and begin to operate knowingly, releasing tones, following the leading of the Spirit, you can cause serious disruption in the powers, you know, that operate things. And if you do it from heaven, that's the key, because do it from a eternal place, not from a temporal, because you can do things from down here, and it does not have the same impact. That's when you know where you are, your position, and you are in a higher level, and you worship from inside God. That's when things change. It's for the eternal purpose. So
that's massive, worshiping from inside God, and it's such a I think a fresh revelation that we're in Him. You know, we've often talked about gazing at the throne, and we've sang throne room songs, and we still will, because that's just that isn't a thing God wants us to have. But we can also be in Him, looking out. Elizabeth, jumping to you, you are definitely a person that has such a frequency on you. When we did that conference, you almost just, you and your husband, I think your husband was drumming, you just lock in.
To the rhythm of a heartbeat, to the rhythm of a dancing God, to the rhythm of a heartbeat, to the rhythm of a dancing God, to the rhythm of a heartbeat, to the rhythm of a dancing God.
And it's almost like you're freestyling. And even the words themselves, you don't even have to catch the words. There's like a going out from it.
Yeah. We don't premeditate anything. So it's all just right there. We just, and sometimes that can be unnerving. You know, you come, you're like, okay, well, I have nothing here. So you just by faith ascend into these realms, and then, you know, release. You just get in that zone and you just release that. But I think of everything in terms of frequency. And like Alberto was saying, you know, sound is light, singing is light. And we think about, you know, there's this example of the tuning forks. You know, you clang a tuning fork and the other one isn't activated yet, but you bring it into proximity and all of a sudden it starts just vibrating at the same frequency. And that's the thing. It's this resonance that we enter into in the heart of God. You know, we live, we move, we have our being, we resonate, we vibrate, you know, we have this frequency that comes out of the place that we live from. And I happen to believe that Peter's shadow was truly just the light that was coming out from him, was just extended that far, that just as he's, you know, walking down the road, as he's walking past people, healing is happening. And the thing about, you know, corporate times of ascension is that we actually don't need anybody to come in and say, okay, you know, have a word of knowledge and say, okay, you know, this person, we all have this place of ascension, that all of a sudden there's this light, there's this frequency that begins to radiate and begins to, we just all begin to buzz with this place, and all of a sudden spontaneous healing. And that is the place of justice, you know, because what is justice? It makes all the wrong things right and all the dark things light. So when we ascend into these high, high places, in the place of wisdom, you know, the place of light, where none of the powers of darkness can touch that, you know, they can't be there. And so, you know, when we really just lift ourselves up from out of that, what I call kind of ground level warfare, squabbling, whatever. It's just not productive. And we come into this place of light. We come into these frequencies is really where the power is. And that's why I think it's so important as worshipers, to create these atmospheres where for encounter, really, because what is more powerful than anything on the earth? It's sons coming into the reality of sonship and union, and that will change the entire planet.
It's just so beautiful that even we're having this conversation, there's a change in consciousness, there's a change in awareness. We're coming into the age of vibration, frequency, even in the cosmic calendar, which the Bible says God created as signs for seasons. The sign that we're coming into is Aquarius, which is someone with water, endless water, frequency and energy, a being that's eternal, so from above, and is immortal. And those are like defining, there's a different sound to that. There's a different sound to immortality. There's a different sound to water than where we've been before, where we're moving into the torrents, frequency, breakout, light. And you could see even in science, the way we're understanding science is changing from your normal Newtonian science into Einstein and beyond that, into quantum, understanding that we're particle, like Tesla said, where to think of the universe, you got to think in terms of energy, frequency and vibration. And this idea that we're all connected, that if you're next to somebody and they're in that realm and they're outputting, you are entangling with them and you are releasing a new covering. Like you said, I love what you said about Peter. I'd never thought of it being Peter's light. I'd always thought of it just being the presence, but that makes really, it was something coming from Peter that was different to the other people in that room. They were all in the same cloud, the same glory, but his inner union with God. And, the people that I know that are like Nancy Cohen, who've seen so many Muslims saved and crazy situations, she outputs so much light energy and frequency, and she really knows how to engage it. She calls it the bubble up, and I've talked to her lots of times, and I say Nancy, how do you get regenerated? And she goes, oh honey, it's the bubble up. And I'm like, what is the bubble up? She says, I'm in God's presence and it just bubbles up and it bubbles back down her body, and she gets regenerated by the frequency of life. And I think we're coming into the age of understanding how even the human body's regenerated and is connected to worship, not connected as an activity, but a state. Albert, you've talked about this, that worship isn't an event. It's not like, hey, and that's where the language has maybe been, we need a new language now. Like, how do we describe it if we're in a state of worship? We don't just go to worship, do we? It's like we used to say we go to church, but we know that's wrong. We're the ecclesia, we're the government always. We're in the union always. So the language of separation's got to go. But how do we describe worship now?
The problem is that people think of worship as, worship songs, unfortunately. They think of, slow songs to God, that's worship, and then songs about God, praise. Then that's fine. There's a dimension that it covers that. But really, if you look at worship, everything is worship. Your life is your breath. Everything your life is worship. So it's not just something that you do; it's simply who that you are. And so, to help people engage in a different way, I don't know. It's like almost we need a new word to help them. Okay, so it's not just singing a few songs. I'm worshiping now. Then I get out of the church and worship is over. So it's like we need help. We need a new word.
And love making up words and poetry. And I think there's like, I think we're going through a word explosion. And one of the challenges we have, people always say it's a new day, right? And it's going to be a new day and a new era. But then people want to do exactly what they did before. It's like they're saying, yeah, new era. Okay, let's do it exactly like we did it.
That's right.
How do we shift into that realm? How does that work for you guys to help the people listening? Because we know it's an ascension. We know we have to go into that timeless realm. What happens to you guys? And what happens to you at the moment where you shift? How does that work for you, where you go into more of an expanded state?
But I think it's important to establish that this is not a formula, that you are coming to be with a person, and that you, every person, you were created uniquely. So hear me out. There is, every person on this earth will connect and will ascend, maybe in a different way than the person right next to you. So that we get in trouble when we start comparing our experiences, like, whoa, he just saw a golden stair and it just, you know, it went up, and man, I don't see nothing, you know. So it gets, people get discouraged because they begin to compare each other to each other's experiences, and I see that a lot. And so what needs to happen is everybody needs to realize, yes, I have access. So how do I connect? How do I become aware of that reality? Because, and so that is a really thing that it should be emphasized, that it's not, you know, we can do a corporate things, and there is an anointing, and sometimes when we come together for all of us to go together, but then when that meeting is over and you go home, it's really hard. It's like, because you're not being in, you know, you're not leveraging everybody else's, you know, thing to go up to a place. So the corporate, it doesn't translate usually to the personal, the private.
But for those listening who are wondering, well, how do I do that? For me, I'll just throw out how it happens for me through sweetness. Like, I really love God and God really loves me. I'm in him, he's in me. And I could just breathe God and I'm in. Alberto, how do you take it for you then? And maybe the other guys could think about this as well. How do you blur that those realms in your regular situation outside of a corporate dynamic?
Right. And see, because what happens is we are so busy. We're so, not just busy, distracted, because our phones and you know, people with two jobs and, because they're, everybody's distracted. Everybody's, you know, somewhere. So even just 5 minutes, hey, you have a coffee break. Let's, you know, let's engage the Lord. And so it gives, if maybe we all should do that, you know. And then as people begin to practice that, they'll find their own way, because really we can lean from each other. But there's a unique way that each one of us connect. And that's part of the journey. You know, discovering who you are and how did God create you, and how do you connect with, and that's a journey, because there's no way around that. Because if we don't find out how do I connect with my creator, with you know, Yeshua and how on Yahweh, how do I connect personally, me, not somebody, not Justin, not you know, Elizabeth, or just how do you connect with your creator? That's an incredible journey that we don't hear much, because it's usually the thing that says just read your Bible, pray, and those are all good things, those, you know, generic good things, disciplines, if you will. But we're talking going deeper into knowing who I am, who he is, you know what I'm saying? It's that that personal interaction and journey that's I would love to see. So we should all put things that more shorter tools that help people, so that we, the professionals, you know, and I say this, you know, the professionals that do this for a living, it's sometimes it's easy for us to say just do it, but people that have two jobs, single moms, they're stressed out, they're afraid, they don't have, you know, they're sick, so it's sometimes overwhelming. And I really care for that, because it's easy for us to say, you know, for the professionals, you know, to always be preaching at the rest of the the people that are, you know, really struggling, and they want to, but they don't have the tools. Mm-hmm. So that will be my prayer for all of us, to maybe just contribute more tools for all of us to grow in this.
That's beautiful. And again, it's a challenge, because you're not then becoming the person between God and them. They have to be with God. And that is the language of this new era, isn't it? Is that you can't keep looking at that other person to give you that. You've got to develop this union, this sweetness with the Lord, and find your own triggers into the bliss and build those triggers into your life. Like Francis of Assisi loved the vegetables and animals, and Saint Bernard loved the forest. And Teresa of Avila had her first ecstasy when she saw a statue of Jesus with his wounds that happened to be in the hall. And I think she bumped into it. And as she saw the wounds, the statue triggered her into one of her first ecstatic states. And from then on, and it's like Joseph of Cupertino, he got triggered by communion. He got triggered into the bliss by hearing the choir. One time he saw a painting they were doing of Jesus, and he shouted loudly, "Oh!" and flew, and he floated in the air for a couple of hours, and he was always getting triggered. Elizabeth, what triggers you in? What makes you get into that flow?
You know, I also don't have really that issue, and so it's sometimes hard for me. But what I've kind of come to realize is that the church has really framed up a system in which people have become dependent on the church system to provide the place where they can connect with God. And so I love what you're saying, Alberto, because I think, you know, as forerunners in this, I think that's such a great idea that we would almost become coaches or midwives in for these people to bring them into this new era, to almost basically teach them how not to be dependent on the system or a system, or not to be dependent on us as worship leaders, but to really learn how to build this union with Christ into the fabric of their lives. How do they do that? How do we move them into that? And so I think that's a really good idea. In fact, I do a little bit of that, shorter things on The Journey, which is like a prophetic worship thing that I release every month. And the reason I started doing that was because of this, Justin, because people were like, how do we get this kind of worship? You know, so I release a whole session every month and then little shorter bonuses. But I think, Alberto, you know, I think I'm going to really contemplate, you know, what else I can do to put other tools out there to help people, because I think that's really key. And to kind of go back to, I realize I'm backtracking a little bit here, but you had mentioned something, Justin, about I think a little bit more towards how do we as worship leaders, how do we jump into, how do we help other worship leaders jump into this new thing? And so I'm just going to kind of share a nutshell version of my journey. And that would be like, I pretty much came out of the gate as not your typical worship leader. I didn't really stick to songs very much, but back in the day, I kind of did like a hybrid type of thing where I would use a song as a launching pad and then we would, you know, go off. And now, you know, I just basically don't do songs really anymore unless it's requested specifically that I do that. And then I use them as a launching pad. But really where my heart is just to go into that spontaneous realm where he can take us anywhere. And then we go from there. And so my encouragement to worship leaders is learn to throw the structure away. Learn to actually, you're going to have to have courage and just throw the things away that you allow yourself to fall back on. Because when I would bring a couple of songs to the table, it's like, okay, if I'm not really connecting and I don't really feel like things are flowing, I'm just going to fall back on this song. And I came to a point where the Lord was like, you've got to remove the crutch. You know, and I realize this isn't going to be the same journey for everybody. And there's different expressions of worship all across the board. So I'm not telling everybody to throw away the songs. But what I am saying is learn to recognize what you're falling back on that is keeping you from moving forward in the spontaneous realm where anything can happen, where he can take you into any realm and really create that place of encounter. And so that would be my encouragement, is just have courage and learn to just throw those crutches out, whatever it might be for you, so that you can go higher into the places that you're called to steward.
If you bring people into union with the Lord, they almost go off in their own place anyway, because often Janine's been doing worship and I've looked around the room, and sometimes no one else is really singing because we're all caught up in, and that's a very different thing than what the church is used to, where it's all been about, I want to hear you sing. But we're not moved by that, because in the spirit, I look at them and I can see they're engaging. They've gone into a realm, and then we do join back in the singing. So it's almost like you take them in and you go into that place of loving God. And the worship leader not feeling like they have to be the focus, because they're not. Mm. And I love even the rawness of what Sean Foyt's been doing on the streets, where I've listened to some of that, and it's the rawness of it is so intoxicating and powerful and vibrating against those structures of darkness. We used to be inspired years ago by Morningstar. I remember the first time I heard a 20-minute song on one of their CDs. I was like, in the 1990s, I was like, what is this? The realm on that. And they actually then had, on one of their CDs, they had a pillar of cloud come in the room with an audible sound that they recorded on one of the CDs, and they're all worshiping. Mm-hmm. And suddenly everybody goes dead quiet, except Susie, and you can hear this. And I've talked to people who were there. They literally saw the cloud of the pillar come in, and everybody hit the deck except Susie, who kept on singing. And the whole thing's so spooky because all the instruments stopped.
I think that's the frequency, you know, that we were talking about earlier, is where we, and what Alberta was saying, where it goes beyond our words and we start to release that ecstatic sound. And we haven't really, we're quite contained. We haven't really allowed ourselves to really let go. That's actually one of Susie's songs, isn't it? I'm going to let myself go and really worship. And I feel like the more that we learn to be in union, and the deeper that we go, the more our gateways are gonna pop open. We'll start releasing all these kind of sounds of worship, and there'll be a corporate sound. That is many of the dreams that I've had where I felt almost like the spirit of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and it's being in gatherings where I've like glimpsed the future. There's been this roar that's come from people, not just all on the same note, but almost like many sounds all together. You know, that's what I really feel like the many voices is us kind of getting to that place where we're in the realm and we're experiencing God, but allowing ourselves to be overwhelmed by who he is. That is the, to me, that's what worship is just being so in awe of who he is, and just the natural response to that, you know, that we'll have to come beyond our words, because he's so amazing, he's so mysterious, that we haven't got language. And I think that is where we're at the moment, is that we haven't got language yet for where we're going, because it's new territory, it's a new space within his heart. And yeah, I feel it's a lot to do with the ecstatic and the trance realm that he's kind of taken us into.
I think there's a huge connection, and we haven't touched on that. Can we touch on a little bit whilst we're talking about this, the angelic, the function of the angelic? Because, you know, you see in scripture, the angelic is a massive, massive part of the throne room dynamic. And when Jesus appeared, they worship him with the shepherds. And it seems like whenever there's a dynamic of worship, and even around us, there are angelic activity. Can we talk a little bit about that? Where are we at with growing in our awareness of that and participation with the angelic.
Absolutely. I think that we haven't seen it, anything yet in regards to angelic involvement. And I might add the cloud of witnesses.
Come on.
Because they are so in tune. When you have a group of people that know how to, you know, ascend and be in those places, and you begin to move in those realms with the sounds that come, there is a mobilization. It's like if we've seen them, like they're like ready. It's like 2 pounds, just waiting for the right cadence, just waiting for the right sound. Mm. And it's like they are all like with their spears going, droom, droom, droom. You know, it's so when you're in that place in heavenly realms, they are ready to pounce. And we are all gates. And so they can come through our, even our beings. I believe that we are letting them, as we are one with God, you know. In that place, there's a place of us where we become a tunnel too for them to whoosh and invade realms, invade the physical realms, invade who knows where. There's no limit as to the assignments that can be mobilized as we are synchronized with the heart of God and a group of people that know government. It's fantastic what happens. And so yes, looking forward to this new age of involvement with the angels and the creatures of heaven and the cloud of witnesses that all want to be involved.
As worship leaders, how do you partner with angels?
I think for me, I really have come to the place where what I want to do right off the bat is just honor all of heaven to bring, like what you're talking about, Justin, to verbally and bring, it's almost a bringing awareness to also with the room, because the people, you know, we who are functioning in this, we're good with just going off in it, you know, but the people aren't quite sometimes comfortable with it. And so just bringing into that place where we're honoring the angelic, we're honoring the great cloud of witnesses, we're honoring, you know, the living creatures, all of heaven, you know, in this place. And we just turn our awareness to the fact that we are joining with them to, you know, bring awareness to that reality. And then in the midst of worship, when I'm really sensing, you know, there's an angelic presence that is specific, I mean, I'll just go ahead and say, you know, let's partner with the angelic, let's partner with the breaker, the angel breaker that is here, or the healing angels that are here, or whatever it is. And so to just sort of bring us into that place where we're thinking about and we're entering to whatever level we can, and whatever level that people can, you know, to partner with them, to introduce those concepts, because I find it is quite a new concept to most people. And there are pockets where it isn't, you know, and so you can just go for it, which is awesome. But I find in most places, it's a little bit of a new concept when we're talking about partnering with the angelic and the great cloud of witnesses. And but the first thing is honor, and then engagement with the whoever is there, you know, whoever, you know, shows up to really engage with what we're doing.
I really love the way the conversation is changing, because when I first started teaching on the cloud of witnesses 10 years ago, it was such a new thing. What I'm really excited about, though, is that whenever I've spoken on it, there's been extraordinary manifestations, or people have had visions and they've had experiences, because the Lord really wants us to have this. It's not like he's over there holding it back. It's us creating a culture that allows those beings, and the cloud of witnesses are not complete apart from us. And I think it's so exciting to think about these things happening. I'll just share a quick story, and you guys have probably heard it on some of the podcasts, but I was ministering in Coeur d'Alene, and I could see David in the spirit dancing in the room It was the most extraordinary thing. It was like ribbons of color were coming off him. And he was like bare chested and, you know, muscular and moving with these. And he was dancing and dancing. I was watching this. And it was the moment where I was supposed to preach. And they I love John and Ruth. And Ruth was coming towards me with the mic saying, "Will you preach?" And I immediately thought, how can I preach when I'm seeing this incredible dance with ribbons and color right in front of me in this open space? Mm. So I said to Ruth, "Just keep singing." And she kept singing. And then this incredible thing happened. This woman there, it was like something popped in her DNA, this young woman, and she released a sound. I've got the photo of it. That literally was ethereal. It was like all the shyness and stuff in her just went cracked. And she released this torrent. And I saw it and I captured it on film, on my camera. And I knew that birthed her going to another level in ministry. And she's doing a music album and it broke something off her. And it was like, wow, this is just so different. David's dancing and the Holy Spirit's cracking open DNA and breaking shyness and timidity of people and birthing ministries. And I know, Janine, you've sensed different people at different times, haven't you? People like Clement, who people talk about a lot. But he really carried something, didn't he, of wildness, prophetic worship.
Yeah, it was just after he died, actually, not long after. Going back to what we were talking about before, about how do we connect with God in our life every day, I'm kind of busy mum and working as well. So I think there's a grace maybe on worship people that we find it easy to experience the presence. And like you mentioned, Albert, not everyone kind of necessarily has that. But I feel like because it's a well-worn path in my heart to just acknowledge his presence and to go into that, I kind of do that as I'm going about my day-to-day life, you know, because I don't have hours to spend with the Lord necessarily in the morning. It has to kind of be in my lifestyle when I'm looking after my children and, you know, doing household stuff. And there was this one day where I think I was reorganizing the kitchen Tupperware drawer or something like that, something very mundane. And I actually find that a lot of the mundane tasks is when I actually start to feel the angelic or the cloud of witnesses. There's something in doing something that your mind isn't it's not taxing for your mind, that your spirit can start to become God conscious. It starts off in that place of union, but because it's a relationship, it's more than that. There's a lot going on in heaven. There's a lot going on around our lives. And so as we begin to sense that, and this one particular day, I just knew in my spirit that Kim Clement was around my life for about a week. And in that time, he was teaching me different things about the oracle spirit, actually, that there was going to be worship people, that he had actually begun to function in something in his life, which was to do with singing and releasing the word of the Lord, but that there was something new coming with that, as in that we would actually sing and create the future. And so I had this happen for about a week, and you know, it wasn't intense. It was just like moments, and you know, and that's the amazing thing about the spirit, isn't it? That you can have one moment where you're infused with this intense knowledge. It doesn't have to be hours and hours, because in the spirit it's beyond time. I think when we engage like the angels or the cloud of witness come around us, they're actually infusing us with truths that they've walked in. And then it's another way that God kind of teaches us.
And you've had like an angel that's come and helped you with songwriting, and it's expanded in you, isn't it? This realm's growing. And I think some of us are starting to get to know different angels. Like I know different angels that work with me. You know, years ago, worship leaders would not have been talking about partnering with angels. They would not have been talking about the cloud of witnesses. You're not worried about reputation, are you, Alberto? Reputation, what's that?
pocket with God.